Oh, woe, beloved listeners, fame is fickle. Those of you with social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, know the sickening feeling that follows when you post a photograph or write a tweet and the refusal of the world to respond. Now, many of us wonder how it is that other less deserving beings are able to attract hundreds of friends, likes or followers on their social media. What's the secret? But if it's any comfort, such feelings of inadequacy aren't confined to the world of humans. Some of today's biggest Instagram stars are four-legged. Welcome to the world of celebrity dogs, or as they're known, Pupfluencers. My guest, Andy Newman, a journalist who writes the Pet City column in the New York Times. Recently, Andy investigated the rise of Instagram dogs and was lured into chasing the limelight himself. More of that soon. He joined me from his home in New York, and I greeted him with a woof.
Woof, Philip. Good evening. Thanks for having me.
It's a delight. Tell me what the sort of animals or the sort of pets that crop up in the Pet City column. I understand that New Yorkers have some eclectic tastes.
I've written columns about people with pigs, even though those are illegal in New York City. I myself, along with my wife and daughter, raised a couple of baby pigeons in our bathroom that my wife had found on the subway. So people have all kinds of animals in New York, iguanas and geckos, and I think it's just like anywhere else.
People. So it's not just alligators in the sewers.
No, I don't know if the alligators in the sewers myth has ever really been substantiated, but there was a man who had a tiger in his apartment in Harlem a few years ago, and he got in a lot of trouble for that. So people will, just like anywhere else in the world, people want to have interesting pets.
Well, you did a story on rescue birds. You did a piece about raising a baby pigeon that had been abandoned, and quite a lot of the stories you've focused on have become very popular.
I hope so.
Okay. What are Pet-fluencers as opposed to influencers? Pet-fluencers. How did you get onto them?
I met my first Pet-fluencer completely unknowingly and by mistake. I was in a park in Brooklyn last fall reporting about the dog scene in the park early in the morning when you're allowed to have your dog running around off leash. And I met a couple of these dogs that had some kind of very strange aura around them, as did their owners. They just seemed, in the same way when you're in the presence of a celebrity who's kind of on, like you just feel their charisma. And these dogs seemed kind of unnaturally cute and photogenic and always seemed to be doing something that was very, very either funny or appealing. And so I was talking to these people, and she said, yes, this is my dog. His name is Winston the White Corgi. He's you may have seen him on Instagram. He has 100,000 and some followers. I was like, wow, I myself have 140 followers on Instagram. How do you
141.
Get to be like
141. I've decided.
141.
I've decided to follow you. That's okay.
Thank you. It's every little bit helps.
Tell me about this hugging dog. Let's take an example. Tell us about a hugging dog. 165,000 followers.
Her name is Lubutina, and she is some kind of like big friendly retriever. And her gimmick, every Instagram dog has their own kind of brand and their own kind of special skill. And her thing is that she walks down the street in New York with her owner and will hug pretty much anyone she meets. And you can look on her feed, which is Lubutina NYC, and you can see her, with her paws, with her front paws around people, around their necks, around their legs. And apparently people love to get hugs from a dog, love to have their pictures taken getting hugs from a dog, and most importantly, love to see pictures of a dog hugging people. So Lubutina I'm looking at her feed. She has 168,000 followers, and she, along with some of these other dogs that I met, is signed with a talent agency that represents almost exclusively Instagram celebrity animals. These are animals who are just basically famous for being famous on Instagram. And once you have 168,000 followers, advertisers will pay you money to post about their products because they know that you're going to deliver this gigantic audience of eyeballs to them.
You realize that this poses a threat to the Trump administration. They're going to finish up being more popular than the president.
I think that would be fine with them. Trump has got in some hot water for not having a dog and being the first president in a long time to not have a dog. So maybe he should adopt one of these Instagram dogs, and that'll kind of shore up his base with the animal lovers.
Okay, let me sort of whiz down here. Tell me about your chat with the former corporate lawyer Jared Kushner, who I must say sounds like a member of the Trump administration. He owns a dog called Glee. Tell me about Jared and Glee.
Yeah, I think Jared's no friend of the Trump administration, but I will tell you about Jared and Glee. Jared is a guy who was a corporate lawyer. I think he worked for a firm that did like restructuring and all kinds of big complicated things. And he said that in his spare time, rather than reading the news, he liked to look at pictures of golden retrievers because he had one when he was a little boy and he loved that dog. And so he started an Instagram account called Golden's Glee that's just basically aggregating or collecting other people's pictures of golden retrievers and sending them back out to the world. This got to be very, very popular, and he thought, aha, I need to have my own golden retriever, and then this thing can really take off. So he conducted this nationwide puppy search. He found the perfect, most appealing, charismatic, smiley-faced, good vibe inspiring golden retriever. He named that dog Glee after his account Golden's Glee, and now he kind of goes around New York with her and he asks people, what makes you gleeful, which is a very, very important question these days. And so people will say whatever, fried eggs, or this one woman said efficiency or travel, and he takes a picture of you with his dog, and the caption says, what makes you gleeful? And these posts are, for whatever reason, phenomenally popular. And so now his dog has 300,000 followers. He has quit his job as a corporate lawyer. He runs a social media consultancy to tell other people how to do this kind of thing. And he spends more or less a full-time amount of time, 7 or 8 hours a day, taking his dog around the city and taking pictures of people and of his dog.
Andy, a confession. I don't do Facebook and I have no idea what Instagram actually is, but I have been tweeting for some years and I was on the verge of this and I didn't realise. One of my a beloved farm dog had a dozen puppies and I called it the Twitter litter and we gave them away via tweets. Heavens above, I was that close, wasn't I? That close.
Yes,
to triggering off a new industry and making millions.
You could have made millions. You already had the audience that you commanded, and you could have leveraged that into. You could have quit radio by now and just been a full time Instagram or Facebook. Twitter is not so much a source of income for these people, but Instagram and Facebook that's where the advertising dollars go.
Andy, now you tell me, but of course you had a crack at it yourself. Tell us about Barnaby. I can sense Barnaby is quite close to you at the moment. So he's a yes. Basset hound, and they're a particularly mournful looking dog.
They are mournful looking, and they are, of course, famous for being very stubborn. Unlike your average Instagram dog, Barnaby will not pose for a picture. He doesn't do anything that's particularly cute at all. He's also very old. He's about 11 years old. He does not get around too well. He has become a little bit incontinent in his old age. He has these kind of cysts all over his body. He's a little bit, he's cute, but he's not exactly camera friendly. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun for this story to see if I can make him into a pupfluencer.
Well, on his profile, you'd describe his hobbies as eating trash, staring at walls, peeing on floor.
Yeah, so I looked at the environment of Instagram celebrity dogs. There are all these incredibly cute dogs doing incredibly cute things and eating, you know, fancy human food and modeling clothes and traveling, doing all these kind of glamorous things. And so I thought, what is the niche for my dog? And I thought, realism, you know, nothing cute, just pure hound. And so I thought, I will take pictures of him eating trash on the street. If he pees on the floor, maybe I'll take a picture of that, although I haven't posted one of those yet. And I told the woman from the dog agency about my plan, and she said, terrible, don't do that. If you want your dog to be big, you have to give him some interests that people can relate to. She said her dog is about fashion and travel and charities and is kind of this very anthropomorphized dog. And she said, your dog's not going to get anywhere if you just kind of, you know, talk about him as kind of a gross old dog. But because my life doesn't depend on making him an Instagram celebrity, I thought, I'm just going to do it anyway. So I did it. I took pictures of him eating trash off the street, and lying on the floor and staring at things. And, you know, didn't do so well until after I wrote the story. And then, of course, he got a bunch of followers. But that's only because he was on the New York Times.
Given the aging population, incontinence is an issue for a lot, great many humans. You could imagine some product placement for Barnaby in terms of incontinence. Nappies, dog nappies.
They're dog nap, but there is also wee-wee pads, which people use. Barnaby refuses to use them, so we don't have them for him. But if the people from one of the wee-wee pad companies want to give us a call, Barnaby will gladly endorse your product. He was at the veterinarian last week, and he has this open wound on his rump that he keeps nibbling at. And so she gave him, she put this special kind of collar on him, not one of those cones, but one that really restricts his neck, so that he can't bite his wound anymore. And I took a picture of that, and I posted a picture of the wound, and you know, that got like 150 likes. And so he's ready to endorse any kind of product that's for aging dogs, incontinent dogs, dogs with running sores. You know, that's his niche.
I think you're a genius, Andy. I just think your time hasn't quite come. But any minute now, people will rethink Barnaby. Now, I have to, before I let you go, celebrity dogs have celebrity followers. Tell me about Toast, the world's first supermodel dog who's got Reese Witherspoon, etc., as followers.
I didn't actually know about Reese Witherspoon following Toast, but I know that Toast, I have met Toast. Toast is an extraordinary dog. Toast has a tongue that is permanently hanging out of Toast's mouth because Toast has no teeth. And people, for some reason, are really into that. Toast also talks a lot about the importance of not getting dogs from puppy mills because Toast came from a shelter, and Toast is just kind of everywhere. Toast has a book called Toast Hampton about life on the Hamptons in Long Island, among the fancy celebrity people there, and people love Toast.
Andy, tell me about your Instagram account so we can pass it on to the listener.
The Hound he's at The Hound Barnaby. It's all one word, The Hound Barnaby. As we speak, he has how many followers? 939 followers. So if we can get him up to 1,000 in the next 24 hours, he will send the 1,000th follower a piece of trash that he has personally curated.
The voice of Andy Newman, who writes the Pet City column in the New York Times, and the creator of the Hound Barnaby's account on Instagram, no relation to our Barnaby,